Ryan Walter's second spring football game as the Boilermakers head coach is all wrapped up, having taken place on Saturday in Ross-Ade Stadium. I'm Kyle Charters for Gold and Black Radio. Tom Dienhart with his observations on the spring coming up. Tom in a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
All right, Tom, let's talk a little bit of spring football. The spring game was on Saturday. Beautiful Saturday in West Lafayette. There was a bunch going on around campus, including a little bit of football. Purdue will practice a couple of more times this week before actually wrapping up all 15 of its spring practices. Yeah, football was going on here over the last month too. Tom, I know you know that because you were out there. For the rest of us, we've been preoccupied with a little bit of basketball, but it seems like it's been a productive spring for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, well, by the way, I kind of feel like the Maytag repairman, Kyle, to give you a real dated reference. Probably over the heads of most of the listeners. But, yeah, football has been going on. This is, like you said, the last week, the fourth and final week, Tuesday, Thursday, last two practices. And, yeah, you know, there's always optimism, Kyle. You covered a lot of spring footballs over the years, spring football practices over the years. And, yeah, this year, you know, we boy, modern-day college football, my friend, and these rosters flip over pretty quickly.
Yeah,
14 portal guys are here right now. Two junior college transfers. I think 11 freshmen have enrolled early. So that's about a quarter of your roster, right? And new faces. And there's going to be some more portal guys coming here soon, too. So, yeah, a lot of change here and hope for the better, Kyle. The optimism is always high in the spring, right? And how much can you take from spring practice? How much can you take from a spring game? Let's be honest with ourselves. Not a whole heck of a lot, but it's a good way to whet the appetite and sort of point our direction toward August when training camp starts.
Oh, no doubt. Over the years, you've had some spring stars who then when it comes around to the fall, you're like, where'd that guy go? But that happens sometimes just with some, roster flexibility, I guess. Guys getting some other opportunities. You know, the one guy who probably stood out in the spring who we know will be a fixture in the fall is Hudson Card. Purdue's going to go as its quarterback goes. He ended last season on a high note, I think, and it seems like maybe has, you know, physically put himself in position to pick up where he left off.
Yeah, I think you're right. And second year in the system, I think he came in last year, like a lot of people, Kyle, when you're coming in a new situation, you're a quarterback especially, you don't want to come in the locker room acting like you have all the answers. I guess you kind of have to wade in and earn that respect, right? And I think he's earned that with how he played last year. There's no question about his toughness. He fought through a lot of injury last year and still played. And he's got some nice skills too, right? Can make most of the throws, has a nice arm, and boy, that athletic ability. He can extend plays with his feet and just take off running if need be. So he's a guy you can win with. And if you look around the Big Ten, I think he certainly is going to be one of the top, quarter percentile of signal callers in the conference this coming year. And now the question, Kyle, what are his playmakers going to look like? And that's what really Purdue went after in the portal, was looking for wide receivers. You know, the top three pass catching wideouts all left. You know, Sheffield's gone and Yassine's gone and Burks is gone. So they brought in three portal kids, and they have a junior college transfer that'll get here in May. So we got a little glimpse of a couple of the JUCOs on Saturday. I guess the name to watch is C.J. Smith. He's from Georgia. Olympic caliber speed, they say, Kyle. He could be a guy who can take the top off of defense. And honestly, Kyle, one other name for people to keep on their radar is a guy who got here last year.
Yeah.
They got hurt training camp and missed all of last year, Jamal Edrin. From Florida Atlantic. They thought he could be wide receiver one last year, and their excitement about him has not waned at all. So he didn't play at all yesterday, or I should say on Saturday. But Jamal Edrin, C.J. Smith are two names, as far as wide receivers go, people should keep on their radar.
This is more of a commentary on me than on your coverage or on the players themselves. But yeah, I looked at that spring game stuff and the wide receivers. I'm like, who are these guys? Like, what? But you're telling me that Purdue feels like it's in pretty good shape there. Maybe we'll add in the portal a little bit, but I mean, it's just the way it's going to be these days at certain positions, certain guys, the portal players coming and going. If you're not staying up to date, I'm talking about me personally, then sometimes you're going to be like, wait, where'd this guy come from again? Who's this guy? And he's going to be the number one. But it's the way it is. It's modern day college football.
Yeah, you're going to need your roster this year for sure, at least when the season starts. And talked about the receiving core, the new faces there. Offensive line, too, Kyle. Those two positions are the two that have been impacted the most by portal additions. The Lions brought in four players from the portal and two junior college transfers. So there's six experienced big veteran bodies that are here on campus now. I think a couple of those guys are going to start, too, Kyle. I think one's going to be your left tackle, a kid named Corey Stewart from Ball State. And I think one of them is going to be your right guard, DJ Wingfield from New Mexico. So they've really gone out and again, improved depth on the offensive line, which really struggled last year with depth because of injuries. And they've gotten much bigger, too. Much, much bigger. Those are two things they wanted to do. And I think they feel like they've accomplished both. So if you look at that line, if you factor in Gus Hartwig's back, Muhammad Moose's back, Marcus Bowe's back, you sprinkle in those two portal guys, I think that the starting five has a chance to be pretty salty.
Yeah, that group was sort of pieced together for much of last year, especially it seemed like in the middle of the season, caused Hudson Card some issues. Got better at the end of the year, I think, as Purdue was able to put some things together offensively at the end of last season. Defensively, here's my big hot take. That Nick Scorton, while good, Purdue will be able to replace that productivity at that position, A, because it has some good options there, but B, because the scheme sort of sets it up for the guy who's playing there, if he's good at all, to be able to make some plays. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, that position is just get up field, Kyle. They don't call them outside linebackers anymore. They just call them rush ends because I think that was more of an apt moniker and description of what they do. So, yeah, get up field, man. Get after the quarterback. Scorton was good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a pro, and they're going to miss him. I think some ways, though, Kyle, if you kind of read some quotes about guys who've left, so sometimes they talk about guys who are maybe more selfless. Scorton was very talented, though. And again, you got him subtracted, right? And you subtract Kydren Jenkins, who was the other rusher, who's now the starting inside linebacker. They moved him to the middle of the defense. So you're going to have two new rush ends, and I think Will Held obviously is going to be one of them. We saw Will make a pick six on Saturday. He's going to be special, Kyle. I mean, yeah, he looks great walking through the door. Give him another year or two lifting weights, and he's a pro, man.
Yeah.
And the other end, they brought in a couple portal guys, a kid from Boston College, a kid from Georgia. So they've got some people to work with there off the edge. But again, going back to Jenkins, that inside linebacker now, it's going to be interesting to see Kyle how he makes that transition. We saw a little bit of him yesterday. He's just a football player, man. Anybody who's watched him the last 4 years knows he's the ultimate warrior. Different spotty. He's in the middle of the field. You can't run away from him. I think he has a chance to succeed, Kyle. And I think there was also a thought that this is his best shot to play in the NFL is to be a linebacker because at 6'1", 260, he was not going to play on the edge in the NFL.
Yeah, that was my thought too. I mean, not only might it help Purdue's defense right now, but might be best for Jenkins for the future. He was not going to be able to play with his hand down in the dirt in the NFL and probably not big enough even maybe to be an outside linebacker, but you can play inside linebacker at 6'1" in the NFL.
I kind of think of Juwan Bentley. I think Bentley was a little bit taller than him, but he was a big, thick body guy too. And you covered Juwan Bentley, so maybe you can speak to that more.
Yeah. Yeah, great, perhaps that's a good, that might be a good comparison for Purdue. And Juwan's gone on to have a pretty good NFL career well. What about Purdue's secondary? I mean, it seems like, the Boilermakers, maybe outside of Dylan Thienemann, have had some moving parts there. But that has been a hallmark of Ryan Walters defenses in the past. Purdue would like to get back to that, I am sure. Do you feel like it's made some progress there?
Yeah, they think so. And first of all, no more Cam Allen, Kyle. No more Sanusi Kane. Seems like Cam Allen's here for 15 years, doesn't it? So yeah, Dylan Thiedemann is going to be your alpha, your leader, your quarterback in the secondary, if you will. We all know about his accomplishments last year. Maybe the best true freshman season of any Purdue football player ever. And I think that's not hyperbole. Now, how's the rest of that unit going to fill out, right? They like Antonio Stevens to be his partner back there. They have a position called the star, Kyle. It's like a cornerback slash safety. They brought in a portal kid from Colorado who's maybe the fastest player on defense. Kendrick Breedlove, who's going to be your star. And then the cornerbacks, right? I think the cornerback room has gotten a lot better. That's a position Purdue's really struggled at for years. I think they have some legit guys out there now, at least four legit guys. Your starters are a kid from Georgia, Nyland Green, who's a 6'2" cornerback. They love him. He looks like a pro. And then Markevious Brown is back from last year. I know they like Botros Alessandro as well. And then Derek Rogers. We saw Derek Rogers last year as a true freshman. Those four guys give Purdue a pretty solid foursome, I think, at cornerback. Some good size, some good speed and athletic ability, too.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of portal. That opens today. Purdue will probably try to make some more moves here during the offseason before the fall. Let's do that here coming up next. This is Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, Tom, the portal is open. What do you anticipate Purdue trying to go after? 4, 5, half a dozen guys? And if so, at what positions?
Get your name in there, Kyle Charters. yeah, I think 4, 4, 5 probably is a sweet spot as far as additions for Purdue from the portal. The priorities, number one, is a punter. Got to have a punter. Number two is a long snapper. I know that sounds funny, but they have one long snapper. I know they want another. They will get another. And I know they really would like to get a defensive lineman, not a nose tackle. I think they're pretty good at the nose. It's the two guys that flank the nose tackle. They want one guy there. They'd like to get a big inline tight end, a guy who could be your blocker, like a de facto second or third offensive tackle, short yardage. I think they'd like another star. That cornerback safety spot, and maybe a real luxury item if they could find one as a running back who has some juice, some speed, and who's a home run hitter. That may be hard to find right now. So, again, punter, long snapper, D-line, tight end, star, probably your top four priorities.
Yeah. If you were to list, like, maybe the first couple in order, who would you – not people, but positions – what would you say is the
yeah, again, I think punter is number one, and not to get off on a tangent, but special teams overall, Kyle.
Yeah.
There were some struggles there. Now, the return game was pretty good last year, right? You know, Tyrone Tracy juiced things up back there. But the punting and kicking, especially the place kicking, we all know that they were the worst in America. The stats show, I think they were 8 of 17 on field goals. Very dead last in the country. So they got Ben Freehill back, sixth-year player. They're bringing in this freshman from Brownsburg, Spencer Porath, who's supposed to probably be your place kicker. And they're bringing the kid from UCLA, RJ Lopez, to probably kick off. So back to punting, though. You know, Jack Ansel's gone, Kyle. He left a year early. The only punter here right now is a walk-on. So that's priority one. They have to get a punter. And like I said, I talked about long snapper. Then as far as other real positions go, I think the D lineman I talked about and then the star spot probably be the fourth high priority. Then that big inline tight end, I think, would be your fourth, and the fifth would be a real speedy back.
Yeah. So I know it's only, what, April, middle of April? Tax day, in fact. the middle of April. Excited about tax day. We've got a few months before the start of the season. I mean, if you look at that schedule, and I'm not asking to pick every game here, but if you look at that schedule, it's a it's a challenging one. What I mean, what does Purdue need to do to get to 6-7 victories? What are the big to-do items here during the offseason for Purdue to put itself in a position? And it's going to be this way, man. I mean, look, the landscape has changed, right? I mean, every year it feels like you're going to be facing a battle to get to 6-7, you know, try to get to 8 wins, and you know, the schedules are going to be difficult. You're going to have to try to put together a good team, and maybe you can really make a run when you have a good veteran team and have filled in the gaps with the portal. And then you also are facing some teams on your schedule that maybe you're having off years. But it's going to be a challenge every year with this new landscape. What do you think the keys are for Purdue between now and the fall to put itself in a position where it's going to be able to compete to get to 6-7, maybe more than that, victories?
Well, you know, I think that the defense probably has a little bit more to prove than the offense at this point. The defense, a lot of times it was feast or famine last year. They'd get a big play or give up a big play.
Yeah,
they ranked last in the Big Ten, Kyle, in scoring defense. Look, they allowed over 30 points a game. I think they were 12th against the pass. I know they were 12th in plays of 10 yards or more allowed. So they got to get things buttoned up over there, especially in the back end. I think we all know that's Ryan Walters' bailiwick, his area of expertise, point of pride. I think they got some talent back there now as well. So that's got to get improved, I think. Then you can never overestimate or overstate the importance of your quarterback. We talked about that. You know, Hudson Card's going to have to be probably all Big Ten caliber, you know, if Purdue wants to try to get to bowl eligibility. And the offensive line, too, we talked about how they've really, you know, turned that unit over, gotten bigger, gotten more depth. Protect Card, and then, of course, the big bugaboo for Purdue for it seems like 100 years. Can you get that one tough yard? It's 4th and 1, 3rd and 2. When you're in the red zone, Kyle, can you move that line at the goal line? Can you, from fourth down, goal to goal from the 2-yard line? Everybody in the stadium, Kyle, knows you want to run the ball. Can you run the ball? You know, yeah. And this line should be more equipped to do that. That's going to have to take place as well. And the special teams, right? The third element of the game that really gets talked about. They need to get buttoned up there. And if you want to have a special season, usually you have to make 1 or 2 big kicks, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see if this freshman can handle it or not. And man, yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. I pulled it up as you were talking, and yeah, here you go, Indiana State at home, and you have an off week right away. Kyle, you got Notre Dame coming to Ross Aid. You got to go to Oregon State. Kyle, can Purdue go 2-1 in the non-conference?
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to go 2-1. You're going to have to win Oregon State. That's non-negotiable. And then you got Big Ten play, right? Nebraska's coming here. September 28th, you got to go to Wisconsin. You go to Illinois. Here comes Oregon. They're off. Then they finish up Northwestern. Then you got at Ohio State, Penn State, at Michigan State, at Indiana. So, you know, if you're being honest with yourself, as you look at that schedule and you go, how many games would Purdue right now be favored in? I think I came up with 4 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Kyle, just getting 6-6, if this team get to a bowl after 4-8 last year, that would be seen in my eyes as a job well done and a track toward progress. Because this Big Ten, Kyle, now with 18 teams, no more divisions, the hill has gotten so much steeper now.
Yeah. No, it's probably a wider discussion, Tom, that we don't have time for right now. But, yeah, just expectation level in the new Big Ten where you're fighting to get to 6. And then, as I said, hoping that, you know, there are seasons that come together then as well. And you get a good team where you've made some good additions. Because I think the portal is going to be one of those deals where right, you hit on it at sometimes and you just don't. Other times, and then that in combination with a good schedule to give yourself a really good season, you know, those things are all going to have to come together. And sometimes you just don't know. Like, we can project it right now, but you just don't know how all that's going to come together on a year-to-year basis. It does not seem to me it'll be quite a challenge.
And let me say this lastly too, that portal success is equivalent to your collective. And without a robust collective, without money to spend, let's be honest, it's like the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
Players really don't care about what your locker room looks like, how cool your helmet is, how cool your campus is. M-O-N-E-Y, man. They're motivated like all of us.
Yeah.
And Purdue's collective has gotten better. Ryan Walters has acknowledged that. There's still room for it to get better, the Boilermaker Alliance. So always a battle to keep that collective robust, but it's gotten better, like I said, from last year to this year. It's got to continue to get better if he wants any chance to keep up here and keep accruing quality talent that can win games in this conference.
Right. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe by searching Gold and Black Radio on your favorite podcast app. And feel free to rate us 5 stars. Leave us a comment as well. For Tom Dienhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.